A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no dissensions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. What I mean is that each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and followed him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, a light has dawned. Here in our gospel reading, we have a direct quote from our Old Testament reading. Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, which is the region of Zebulun in the land of Naphtali, two tribes that were cut off earliest in the history of Old Testament Israel. And so in this place, this land of darkness that had lost its inheritance, it seemed, had become inhabited by Gentiles, mixed Gentiles, Jews together, no longer under the rule and direction of ethnic Israel. Jesus went there first. This land of darkness, that's where he chose to shine his light. Now, of course, a light shines brightest in the darkness. We don't see the stars during the day. But here, Jesus becomes the brightest light, which is why we see that the first disciples, seeing Jesus, were able to drop everything, leaving their net, their boats, even their family, in order to follow. Now understand this, that In light, as we remember from probably middle school science, white light has all the colors in one, right? That's all the colors are being shined in white light. That's the brightest light. You refract the light, and those colors are divided. If you have only one frequency, all right, only one color, it will not shine as bright. This is why the light that dawned had to be the white light of the fullness of truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because understand this, in Galilee, where the land had been conquered and resettled, and you had a syncretistic faith that was partly Jewish, partly Gentile, right? We have what we see everywhere in the world. We have Satan masquerading as an angel of light, right? Lucifer, which is light bearer. That's what he does. What Satan does is imitates, but is never as bright as the fullness of truth. So there are many lights in what we call darkness, many competing truths. Only the brightest light would shine and be recognizable as the fullness of truth. For here's how it works. If you have a red ball, it will only reflect red light. All the other colors will be absorbed by that ball. But a white light reflects all the colors, right? So any light that's reflected off that white ball will be brighter than any single color alone. Which brings us to our reading of Paul writing to the Corinthians, where he says there is division, where people are focusing on individual bearers of the light and trying to quarrel about whether they follow Paul or follow Apollos. And whenever that happens, the light is refracted, right? Only they're trying to limit the gospel to only one color, right? Only one frequency. It will never shine bright enough to overcome the darkness of the world. So we just finished yesterday what was designated the week of Christian unity. And ironically, when the Reformers were not trying to do something new, by the way. They were traditionalists. they were trying to go back to the early church and say, let's go back to the beginning, right? But what did you have? Rather than those who follow Apollos or Paul, you had those who followed Luther or Calvin. And so somehow they ended up refracting that light so it could never shine as bright as it was in the beginning. But that still happens today, even as we try to go back and try to find where is the purest church. There's always been a temptation to do that. And in this sense, St. John Chrysostom points out that when people try to even say they follow Christ as opposed to Apollos or Paul. You notice Christ is one of the four possible leaders here. When people say, oh no, I don't follow Apollos or Paul, I follow Christ. As if Christ is not in either or both of them. St. John Chrysostom says that is factionalism as well. To say that we can separate ourselves from God's ministers, from the actual structure of the church, you're refracting the light and it will not shine bright enough to overcome the darkness of the world. So it's in this context in which Paul undergirds his ministry by saying, look, he said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Eloquent wisdom does not mean eloquence the way we think of it today, like somebody who's a communications expert. This is the Greek worldly wisdom that he says he will not impart, right? Whenever we try to isolate a leader or separate a leader from the fullness of the truth. We're following worldly ways. But the power of Christ shines through God's ministers, right? If he has sent them. In this sense, the minister is not a flashlight. It's just a window. It's the light of Christ that shines through him. Elsewhere, later on in this passage, Paul says, look, both Apollos and me, we are servants, right? We're just servants. And in this sense, it's not the doulos servant, which is a bond servant. It's diakonos servant, right? A table waiter. So when you go to a restaurant, the waiter doesn't own the restaurant. He doesn't cook the food, right? He says, hi, my name's Albert. I'll be your server today. Would you like something to drink? And that server may be compassionate and charismatic. He may be aloof and inattentive. It doesn't affect the taste of the food as God works through that individual. And so in this sense, right, God calls people, and that's through whom he works. It's not in this passage, but here it says, is Christ divided? I'm going to build on this in just a moment, but beginning with our passage today, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He picks up on this and he says, right, I planted, Apollos watered, Christ gives the increase. So God calls his ministers to preach, to serve. And it's not just preaching, by the way. As Chrysostom points out, that this service, this diakonos, is not just the ministry of the word, it's all the administration of the church, right? He calls his ministers to do the work, but they cannot perform the miracle of Christian growth in you. That's beyond our reach. We can pray for that, but that has to come from your connection, your union with Christ alone. In this sense, right, no pastor has a green thumb, right? He's just called to represent God. And the best he can do is say, oh God, may not be me who they see, but it may be you who is seen through me. So let us, as we come to the altar today, make it our purpose to receive Christ. And then as we are filled by him and sent out by his gospel, let us be vessels. We're all called to be vessels by extension, so that we can bring forward his word and serve in such fidelity that he is the one who is seen through us.